Well, good morning. Glad that you are here with us. If you're new with us, we're walking through probably the most popular psalm known to mankind, Psalm 23. And the series title is called Just Like Sheep. You and I are just like sheep. That's what God calls us. Whether you're a follower of God or not a follower of God, we're all sheep. All of mankind is sheep. And let me just give you a little hint. God didn't call us sheep as a compliment. It's not a compliment. We are more like sheep than we realize. And when I put this series together and lined it all up over a year ago, I had a different title. And then when we started getting close, I went, I don't know if this is a great title. Even though it's accurate, I don't think this is the title we should go with. Here's the original title of the series. Stubborn, smelly, stupid sheep. See, that's just not, it's not like, I'm so glad I went to church and heard that, you know. So it's like just like sheep. And so as we've gone through this passage, Kevin has done the first 2 weeks, and we're going to take phrase by phrase and unpack it. It's like we are really, really a lot like sheep more than we realize. So we're going to go walk through this, but here's the deal is that Jesus said in John 10 that he was the good shepherd. He was the good shepherd, meaning there's more kinds of shepherds out there. There are shepherds. Every one of us have a shepherd. And the question is Jesus your shepherd? Because if you don't have Jesus as your shepherd, your boss will be your shepherd, your bank account will be your shepherd, you will be your shepherd, and they will all fail. The question is Jesus your shepherd? And what you'll see is if you walked through this, if you haven't been with us, you can go online and catch up. But if you see the pattern in all of these verses is that if the sheep stays close to the shepherd, all is well. Even if it's a dark and difficult and painful chapter. And next Sunday's, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of, say it, death. So the pattern in this whole great, amazing psalm is if the sheep stay close to the shepherd, all is well, even when it's hard, even when it's dark, even when it's scary. And the pattern through this psalm is that we're never alone. The shepherd is always near us. Even though we run from him, he's near us because he loves us. So we're gonna catch up, and I'm going to put each phrase on the screen, and let's all say it out loud, okay, as I kind of unpack a little bit here. Let's all say this together. Ready, go. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Remember one of my youngest daughters, when we were in the church in California, we're trying to memorize this as a family, and my Holly would say it like this: the Lord is my shepherd, and I can't want. And I'm like, no, that's not it. She goes, no, that's it. I can't want. So no, I shall not want. And if Jesus is your shepherd, your deepest, deepest needs are taken care of. Next phrase. Here we go. He makes me lie down in green pastures. The emphasis isn't the green pastures. The emphasis is that he makes me. Because as sheep, we want to run all the place and we're freaking out and stressed out, and he sometimes makes us lie down in green pastures. Next phrase, here we go. He leads me beside still waters. Sheep don't like rushing water, but when they're so thirsty, they'll just head and dive right in, soak and saturate up, and then float and die downstream. They don't think things through. And God loves us enough to block and dam up some waters so they become still so that we can be refreshed. And God, again, has to do things to make us rest and be refreshed. The last phrase from last week, he restores my soul. The good shepherd is the only one that can restore my soul. We can restore our physical health by exercising or going to a doctor or whatever. There's some measure of restoring our physical needs. We can go to a counselor to help us work through some emotional needs, but there is no one, no being but God who can restore our soul. And it's in the soul that our deepest needs, deepest hurts, deepest pains reside. So who's your shepherd? And if it's not Jesus, the Lord is not your shepherd, your soul will never be restored unless the Lord is. So here's the passage for today. Let's all say it. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The simple definition of this, more accurate in the Hebrew, is he guides me in the right paths. In the right paths. There are so many paths before us. And there's so many paths, and paths in Scripture are is another kind of a picture, word picture, for choices. There's tons of choices, different paths that will lead us to a destination. But God, as our shepherd, he wants to guide us in the right paths, the righteous paths, the paths that please God, that are beneficial to us. And it's for his name's sake. We get blessings from it, but it's for his name's sake. If we're a child of the shepherd, it's about his name. And he has paths for us to choose, and he needs to guide us. He needs to guide us. So we're going to unpack this part of this verse today as best we can. Here's the central point, if you're taking notes, is that we're going to understand and learn that our shepherd, capital S, our shepherd is a tender leader with a predetermined destination. He doesn't guide us to nowhere. He has a plan, he has a purpose, he is sovereign, but he is a tender leader with a predetermined destination. That's the kind of shepherd that he is. Now, there's an author by the name of Philip Keller, who has written a lot of books, but he's written like 6, 7, 8 books about sheep to give us an understanding about sheep. And the reason why they're so good is because he was a former shepherd. You know, in the Middle East and in Eastern Africa, and he lived on sheep farms, and he went out to the fields, and he understands sheep, and it's super, super helpful for me from, you know, some San Jose, you know, boy that lived in concrete cities to understand sheep, because we didn't have sheep running around in Santa Clara, California. I don't know how many of you grew up in a sheep farm or a farm period, but I did not. And so to understand these books like A Shepherd's Look at the 23rd Psalm, A Shepherd's Look at the Good Shepherd, Lessons from a Sheepdog. And I've read most of them, and I'm like, okay, now I fully understand Psalm 23 so much better. So we'll sprinkle some of his knowledge throughout today and the rest of this series. It's super helpful, and the more we understand about sheep, we realize I'm just like sheep. You're just like sheep. You married a sheep. You gave birth to a sheep. You're related to other sheep. Thus, the original title, stubborn, stupid, smelly sheep. We're just like sheep. Philip Keller says this, that sheep are notorious creatures of habit. If they are allowed to, they do the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. If they're allowed to. Like if when my girls were young, if they were allowed to pick whatever clothes they wanted to, they would wear the same outfit over and over and over again. If it was like smelling to high heaven. And that sheep, we can try, if we're allowed to, do the same thing over and over again. They will walk the same path in the same pasture over and over and over again. There's plenty of different ways, but nope, I walked this path yesterday. I'm going to walk this path today. They will walk it so much that the ground begins to cave and contour and becomes a ravine that's dangerous. And it's not in their brain. Let's try something different. It's like, no, I walked it. I'm going to walk it again. I like this path. And they do the same thing over and over and over and over again. And if they're allowed to stay in the same pasture, and as Pastor Kevin said, they love food. They love to eat. And they'll just eat and eat and eat and eat. But if they stay in the same pasture and all these sheep, they're happy, they're content. Oh, look at all this food. They will just eat and eat and eat. And the pasture will become like this, barren. Nothing there. There's little bits of a little section of little roots here and there, and they'll just eat it till there's nothing. And there's large areas of land in New Zealand and Australia and Greece and Eastern Africa that there's nothing there because the sheep are allowed to stay in one place. And they just, creatures of habit, will just eat, eat, eat. Why go other places? And we are just like sheep. And generational after generation of sin after generation of sin will continue. We do the same thing over and over and over again. And we, our grandparents acted a certain way. Our parents acted that way. And as teenagers, we're like, I will never be like my mom or my dad. And then we find ourselves acting just like them. And generational sin continues, whether it's alcohol, immorality, or worry. My mom was a worrier, and now I'm a worrier. And we do the same thing. We are creatures of habit. If we're allowed to just do whatever we want to do, we'll keep doing the same destructive things over and over again. With that in mind, sheep need several things. We're going to look at three today. First of all, if you're taking notes, sheep need direction. They need a shepherd. They need guidance. They're really helpless in and of themselves. They will make bad decisions after bad decisions. They will choose the wrong path if they were allowed to. They need direction. And Philip Keller says this about the livestock of sheep. He says this, that no other livestock requires more careful handling, more detailed direction than do sheep. Different than cattle, different than horses, all different kind of livestock. Sheep are unique to themselves. They require more careful handling and clear direction than any other livestock. We are just like sheep. We need clear direction, careful handling. We are just like sheep. Philip Keller one time purchased his first sheep farm that was in disrepair. And here's what he described what he purchased. He said the sheep were pretty much left to themselves. The result was utter desolation. Fields became so overgrazed and impoverished, little sheep trails had deteriorated into great gullies. The whole place was ravaged almost beyond repair. All of this happened simply because the sheep, instead of being managed and handled with intelligent care, the sheep had been left to struggle for themselves, left to go their own way, left to the whims of their own destructive habits. Left to ourselves, we're just like sheep. We are dangerous if we don't have a good shepherd leading us and guiding us to make sure that we're headed on the right paths. In fact, Isaiah says this, we all, say it, like sheep. Try that again. Say those two words. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own ways. My oldest, growing up, she got to a point where she kept saying this phrase over and over again. She said, I can do it myself. That's what she would say. I can do it myself. We still tease her about it today. There's something in the heart of mankind, men and women, I can do it myself. I don't need help. I got this. I don't want people telling me what to do. I don't like speed limit signs. It's kind of infringing on my freedom of expression. I don't want the boss telling me what to do. I remember a teenager came into my office all mad, and he was like, I quit my job at the mall, Kitsap Mall. I said, Ian, why? He goes, my boss was telling me what to do all the time. I don't want anybody telling me what to do. I'm like, really? I said, what are you going to do? He goes, I'm thinking about joining the Marines. We are just like sheep, right? And we think, I got it. Don't tell me what to do. And when we get critical, you know, analysis, or we get constructive feedback, and we just, inside of us, we're like, shut up. Don't tell me what to do. And sheep, they got to have a shepherd to say, no, you're not going on that path. I'm going to guide you to this path. This is the right path. This is the better path. And I'll talk about later, our perspective is greatly different than God's perspective because we think we can do it ourselves. The second thing sheep need is this, they need to be kept on the move. They need change. Sheep need to be kept on the move. They need change. And sheep respond just like two groups of us. And there's two groups of sheep. And we're in one of these groups. One group of sheep, when the shepherd says, okay, let's go, we're going to go to the next field, and he starts calling them and guiding them to the next field, there's some sheep that are just like, woo, yes, new pasture, new experience, I'll meet new friends on that field. You know, they're just all excited. That's one group. The other group like, I don't want to go. I don't like change. I like this field. I know the paths. It's comforting me. So which group of sheep are you? I'm over here. Woo, let's change. Let's do this. Awesome. And there's other of you like, I hate change. Change is of the devil. All right? Contrast. But a shepherd must keep the sheep on the move. Okay, you've been in this pasture for a while. We've been drinking out of this brook for a while. And then I got to move you because you will just stay here and be content and comfortable, but it is not going to go well with you. So I got to move you to another field. And there's something about change that we don't like change unless we're in charge of it. And if we're in charge, we're like, what is your problem? But when we're not in charge, we're just like, I don't like this. I don't like you now because of change. And seriously, if we look around the world, everything changes. And then we think, we imagine, we hope, we want, we expect, can I just go to a church that never changes? And there'll be changes all around you. You just don't realize it. And then you will wake up one day. Why is the church all gray hair or no hair? And we have no kids or teenagers. And this, a country of ours, is littered with churches that refuse to change. But their mentality is, you know, but if the 70s and 80s ever come back, we're prepared. Just because this is the way we do church here. And I try to remind this church, all the 12 years I've been here, there's only two things that will never change. God and his word. God and his word. Now, if you're new to Christianity, you're like, what did they just yell? They yelled, amen. That means, I agree with that. Yeah. Amen. Or you can go, uh-huh. Say it. Okay, there you go. All right. This is the only two things that will never change, God and his word. So if you're like, well, I'm in a church, they made change, and you get mad at God. God, I just don't like change. I think God's going to go, sorry. I'm really thankful that change has happened in a church because at one time, pastors wore wigs and knickerbockers. Like, whoever thought that, they thought it was cool. It was never cool. It was for a while, but it was changed. All sorts of things, but why do we react to change in our culture, in our county, in churches? Because we're just like sheep. But the good shepherd says, I love you enough to say, you know what, I'm going to make you lie down in green pastures. I got to chill you out because you're stressing everybody else out. And I'm gonna lead you beside still waters, okay, but after a period of time, let's go, come on, let's go, we're going. I don't want to do it. I can't say it like good as Kevin. I don't want to go. And others are like, let's go, let's go. This is me awesome. And I love you enough, we're going to another field. And I got to keep you moving because if I leave you to yourselves, you'll do the same thing over and over again. And God knows that we need change in our lives. That's why, and there's, when things happen bad, there's two culprits. One, us, the principle of we reap what we sowed. So that's the first kind of look in the mirror. Did I cause this problem? Is this the outpour of my choices? Or two, God has instituted change into your life because you got to move on. You got to grow up. You got to be stretched. You got to get out of your comfort zone. So that's whether there's been change on your job, and man, I love this job. This was so awesome. And then they were hired. And they are just so irritating to me. And did you do anything to deserve that? Probably not. But God says, you know what? We got to add to your growth here. This is a wonderful opportunity. Like, no, it's not an opportunity. They need to go or I need to go.
Because I'm going to bring change. And here's the thing about change. When God does it, and he sometimes uses hard things, sometimes he brings us to our knees, brings us to the end of ourselves, because now we're so close to the shepherd. I need you more because I'm in new territory. I need you more because this is scary. I need you more because this is brand new. The good shepherd knows I got to keep change in your life because it's best for you. It's best for you. I've had several times in my life where God has brought change to my life, and I didn't appreciate it. And God didn't prepare me. And because I loved this so much, whether it was something in my life or a church I was at, but God knew, okay, you've accomplished what I've determined that before you were born to accomplish. Now I have other pastors. I got other lessons. I got other opportunities for you to grow. And when I just went, no, God, I like this. God had to, and it was painful, peel my fingers off of what I was holding so tightly to. And was never mine to hold that tight. Parents, we do this with our children. They're mine. God goes, no, you're temporary stewards of that child. We're like, no, I don't. And God goes, okay, I gotta put painful things because they're my kids first. I have plans for them that you are hindering me. My wife and I, we haven't succeeded at this all the time, but we've tried our best for our three girls. Like, they're temporarily ours, but they belong to God. And God did not get my approval for my oldest to get married and stay in Virginia. Now number two is flirting with the same idea. But you know what? They're not mine. God says, I got changed for their lives. I got this. Sheep need direction. Sheep need to be kept on the move. And number three, sheep need to recognize the voice of the shepherd. Sheep need to recognize the voice of the shepherd. John 10, Jesus, and I'm going to talk about this more in a couple weeks. John 10 says this. The sheep hear his voice. And I love this. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Leads them out, meaning we're going somewhere else. We're going to a new pasture. His sheep hear his voice. Now, a couple weeks ago, Pastor Kevin showed this video of the guest who came to the sheep pen farm, and they're yelling out things to the sheep and trying to get them to come, and the sheep are out there, you know, chewing and stuff, and they kind of looked at him like, I have no idea who you are, nor do I care. And there's no response at all. And then the shepherd comes up and he calls them to himself. And they were like, Fluffy was like, doing, doing, doing. And all of a sudden, all the sheep started coming. Why? That's my shepherd. They heard his voice. They recognized his voice. They responded to his voice. And I loved reading this about Philip Keller about sheep. He says, shepherds don't just talk for no reason. They just blah, 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 blah. They are strategic in their talking. He says this. He says, the shepherd's voice is used to announce his presence, that he is there. It is to allay their fears and timidity, or it is to call them to himself. Again, he just doesn't blab. A lot of words. They're strategic. I'm going to let you know, hey, I'm here. Calm down. Oh, you're afraid? Just the sound of his voice. Sheep can rest. Or he's calling them to himself. And have you ever asked this question? I can't hear from God. Where's God? Where's God? God doesn't, he's not an announcer giving me play-by-play. There's at times when God will use a sermon or a passage in scripture or a song that I'm going, my God's telling me he's there. God, whatever, I'm in some dark chapters. This is scary. And God uses things to speak to me. I'm here. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Or God talks to me and calls me. Now, if you're, again, new to Christianity or Bible study, you're going, God talking to you, that sounds like cultish, you know, it sounds weird. And I tell you, I can't, it's hard to explain, but I know the sound of my shepherd. And he doesn't speak to me audibly, because I grew up Baptist. There's no way I'm going to hear that audibly. That was a joke. But I recognize the voice of my shepherd. But I have other voices in my inner ear. And they're not always from God. In fact, a couple weeks ago, my wife was on the East Coast seeing two of our daughters, and my other daughter, youngest, was at work. I was home late at night all by myself, flipping through the channels. Then I see something on the guide that was tempting me. And the first voice I heard was, no one would know. And my flesh was like, I want to see this. No one will know. I heard that voice very clearly. And as I was reaching to push select, I heard another voice. How bad do you want God's blessing in your life and at Grace Point Church? Whose voice do you think that was? It was God. That was my shepherd. It's my shepherd. I quickly switched to ESPN, where God wants me to watch. So we hear voices all the time. Are you hearing your shepherd? Because he will guide you to the right paths. He will guide you in the right paths. Our shepherd is a tender leader with a predetermined destination. Let me unpack this verse, a couple words here. He guides, he guides, he guides. Right there indicates leadership. He is the leader, the sheep are the follower. We want to invert it. Hey God, I got these plans, why don't you follow me? And if you just do my plan, it's gonna be awesome. And God goes, I don't work that way. The shepherd leads, sheep are to follow. Now, if you unpack this word guides in the Hebrew, it's kind of cool. Let me break apart the Hebrew word for that is naha. Okay, now if you're Jewish, you go naha. All right, you can tell somebody that. It means to lead, but check this out. It also means to create an opportunity. I love this. So when God is guiding us and leading us away from a pasture, you know, in a different direction that he has predetermined, he presents to us opportunities. So when there's change in your life or a new direction or the God is speaking to you, all those things that us sheep need, he is constantly creating opportunities for us to grow, to mature, to develop, to obey. So when there's a change in your life, it's an opportunity. Now, I don't view it this way. I'm like, what? No, God's going, I'm creating an opportunity. I'm guiding you. Are you going to trust me? Are you going to follow me? It's an opportunity to trust me with your finances. Or when someone irritating enters your life and you did nothing to cause them, it's an opportunity. God is your shepherd, he's guiding you, and you want to run away from that, or I'm going to quit and do something else. And then God was like, well, then I'll bring that opportunity to your next job, all right, in someone else. God is always creating opportunities. All right, I'm done with my parents. I'm going to get away. I'm going to do my own thing. God is your shepherd. If you're a shepherd, he's going to follow you, and he's going to create opportunities to grow, to mature, to develop, to obey. Now, the root word in the Hebrew is this one, nahag. It means to herd in a predetermined destination. Again, he's going to lead, not just randomly. It's already selected, predetermined. Then there's a parallel Hebrew word for naha is this. It is to lead or guide tenderly. Tenderly. I haven't seen any pictures or videos of shepherds grabbing a sheep by the nose and dragging him or her. He leads tenderly. Now, what does a shepherd do when a sheep is like, I don't want to leave. I don't want to go to that pasture. In fact, I want to hop over the fence and do my own thing. My name is Fluffy and I'm in charge. What does a shepherd do with a sheep that is absolutely, stubborn and disobedient? I'll talk about that in 2 weeks. All right, you got to be here. So here's the shepherd. He loves us. He wants to guide us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, but he is a tender leader with a predetermined destination and along the way creating opportunities for us to learn, grow, develop, mature, obey. So how do we respond? I can do it myself. No, I got this. I don't need anything. We freak out when change happens. Irritating people are in our lives. There's two perspectives. Let me show you our perspective. Here's a painting. This is our perspective of life. Life is a path. Life is a highway. Life is this or that, and we're on a journey. But this is our perspective. It makes a turn. We don't know what's on the other side. This is the first time we've been on life here on earth this way, and now I'm in a new chapter of my life, and I think there's a building. What is that building? Is that fog? Is that mist? Is that smoke? Is something on fire? And we freak out our sheep, right? Because we don't have control. We don't know what's around the corner. We need a shepherd who's going to guide us and lead us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. But as sheep, with this perspective, we freak out. We try to control, and we panic, and we lose sleep, and we get all anxious. Because we have one-dimensional perspective. Here's kind of a visual of God's perspective. It's all very clear. Yeah, it's going to turn here. It's going to go here. Going up, down. Here's some other opportunities, paths. He sees everything. So he can guide us clearly. So this verse, he guides me. Is he guiding you? Or are you guiding you? He guides me. If you're here today and the Lord is not your shepherd, I'm scared for you because you don't know the way. And the Lamb of God, another name for Jesus, the Lamb of God who was killed for the sins of mankind, he died for you. And he's saying today, maybe you're hearing this voice saying, would you trust me? I've been pursuing you. I've been with you all your life, but you have tried every shepherd known to man, and they will never satisfy your soul. Today, will you surrender and stop running and just run to me? I'm the good shepherd who paid for your sin. Trust me today. Surrender. Stop running. Maybe you're in God's flock. You're like, I've stopped following. And I want to do my own thing. And I'm going to choose my own career path. And I'm going to choose my own spouse. I'm going to do this. And you're like, man, you don't know what you're doing. Some of you need to surrender being in charge. Because you're not a good shepherd. You're a horrible shepherd. Because we're sheep that need a shepherd. Maybe you need to surrender, saying, I'm tired of trying to fix, control, manipulate, manage the paths of life, and I need to surrender control back to the shepherd. So this is an old school psalm we're walking through. I'm going to close the service with an old school song. We're going to stand in just a moment and sing. Some of you who grew up in church like I did, there's like 70,000 verses to this song called I Surrender All. My church sang every one of them 10 times. No one came forward. They just kept adding songs. But I don't want anybody coming forward. But there's things in our lives that we're the shepherds of that only God should be the shepherd. And as this song is playing and you say, I surrender all, some of you physically need to do this and say, you know what? I'm not the shepherd. And I'm not good at it. I surrender this situation to God. I surrender my son or my daughter to the shepherd. I surrender my career to the shepherd. Maybe some of you say, I surrender myself. Today, I accept Jesus as my shepherd who saved me from my sins. I surrender all. I've asked Mike to change the word in the song Savior to Shepherd. I think the author of the song is in heaven, so they won't sue us. So when it comes to Savior, we put the word Shepherd, because he's the Shepherd. I surrender all. Would you stand with me? I'm going to pray, and then we'll finish. Some of you need to surrender something that you've taken on the role of Shepherd, and that's not your role to take. God, we just ask that you would move as you always do. You share and speak to us at times, and we hear your voice, and we want to run from it. So, Lord, whatever sheep you have been talking to, and they've heard your voice, and they know it's you, and they know what you want them to surrender and stop being a shepherd and let you be the shepherd and you guide, may they surrender it to you and not pick it back up. Surrender and submit to the good shepherd today. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, the good shepherd, we say, amen.